If you think thinkorswim isn't for you, think again. It's a dynamic suite of trading platforms designed for every kind of trader. Whether you're just getting started on your trading journey, been at it a while, or somewhere in the middle, thinkorswim is for you. Available on web, desktop, and mobile. Visit thinkorswim.com to learn more. TD Ameritrade, where smart investors get smarter.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 11th day of June 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, the title of my message is The Rapture, Types, Shadows, Prophetic Truth, Immutable. Now, the reason for this is because of what has been taking place with a rapid decline in morality as we see this culture war, as we see Christianity under attack. Everywhere you turn, it's under attack by the Antichrist unit. We see the World and National Council of Apostate Churches literally embracing Satanism. We see the so-called woke movement, which literally embraces Satanism, like Target stores, who literally have Satanists running their, as far as advertising. And so we see this rapid decline of morality. We see this rapid rise of Satanism, and people are asking, when is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is he coming back? Is the rapture taking place soon? And while that's happening, others are out there with misinformation saying there will be no rapture of the church, that the church has to go through the tribulation period. And we're going to take a look at this tonight right from the Word of God, and we'll let the Word of God decide all of this. And so we're going to start out tonight as we go with types and shadows. You know, the Bible is filled with types and shadows. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 7 with verse 11 through 24. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Well, here, when he's talking about the 17th day, now remember, the 17th, the number, the significance of that number 17, 7 is perfection, 10 is completion, so it's perfect completion. And here, so the exact date of the flood's onset must have been noted for some reason, because the ark landed on the mountain of Ararat exactly 150 days or 5 months later. Now, and we know that if we go over to chapter 8 and we read verses 3 and 4, we read this: and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat. And, of course, here again we have those numbers 7 and 17 in play. And so here, the implication that we see here is that in the primeval year contained exactly 12 months of 30 days each. And the going back to verse 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, and the sons of Noah's, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went into Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh wherein was the breath of life. Now, here, two of every kind of land animal entered the ark, including those animals, well, like dinosaurs. And by the way, folks, a lot of people, when they picture a dinosaur, they're looking at these huge, huge beasts, bigger than buildings, but the average dinosaur, the average size was a little bigger than a sheep, really. Now, here, all of those that have become extinct in the millennia following the flood, the animals were all young animals, and there's a good reason that they were all young animals, since they would have to spend the year in the ark without reproducing, and then emerging to repopulate the earth after the flood. So the animals entering the ark were those individuals possessing genes for the remarkable physiological abilities of migration and hibernation. Now here, he goes on, and they that went in male and female. Do you notice that? Male and female. There were only two genders then, even with the animals, folks. And the reality is, there are only two genders today. You just have a whole lot of simple-minded, confused people out there today that are delusionary where it comes to all of this gender stuff. This is stuff from space cadets. It's not reality. And they all went in and went out, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. That word prevailed, by the way, in the Hebrew, actually means overwhelmingly mighty. The waters were overwhelmingly mighty. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Excuse me. And all the high hills that were under the whole heavens were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now, 15 cubits is 22.5 feet. It's 22.5 feet. So what we see here, we see that the waters went above the highest mountains, and here, 22.5 feet above the highest mountains on earth. Now, what we call that, where that was, is called the first heaven. That's the sky. And all flesh died that move upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle and of the beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And all whose nostrils were the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed, since which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now here, this is called a type, and what do we see? It's a type of the rapture. We see one, you have the ark, which is a type of Christ. The ark is a type of Christ, and in Christ, the eight found salvation. The waters raised the ark up high into the sky, which is called the first heaven. While they were taken up and out, down on earth, God's judgment was coming. God's judgment was coming. Now, it was an interesting thing because if I go back here, and the point was here, where we see that God had closed the door. Here, verse 16. And they that went in male and female, of all the flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, think about this. In those days, for 120 years, Noah preached, and they were building this ark. And the people mocked, and the people laughed. But now, all of a sudden, this thing rained that was talking about. And the earth, there's actually more water. I know this is hard, very hard for a lot of people to believe. But geologists tell us there's actually more water under the surface of the earth than there is on top of the earth. And I know that's very hard for a lot of people to believe, but that's what they will tell you. Now, here the earth opens up and water starts gushing up out of the earth. And these people were seeing it. So what are they going to do? They remember that thing called the ark, the boat. Hey, let's get on that thing. It'll float us out of this place. So they must have rushed. And Noah, it would have been very hard for Noah to close the doors. Well, of course, the door of the ark was huge. But the Lord himself, that was his judgment, closed the door upon the ark. And so here, as we see this, so now, what do we see? We see the Noah and the eight being raised up, taken up and out. And then we see, while they are taking out, judgment taking place back on earth. Now, there's another thing here with this in Genesis 9, when we see the rainbow. The rainbow is found four times in Scripture. We find it in Genesis 9, we find it in Ezekiel 1, we find it in Revelation 4 and Revelation 10. The rainbow always refers to two things: first, judgment, and then mercy. Judgment and mercy. In this case, the judgment was approximately 8 billion people, and all the animals in that perished. Approximately 8 billion people perished. The mercy was 8 people did not perish. The God saved 8 people alive. Now, the interesting thing, too, after years upon this mountain, Mount Arafat and others, way up high in the mountain, way far away from the sea, you see, they find seashells, starfish, all of these things way high up in the mountain. Now, how did they get way high up in the mountain? There's only one way that could have happened, and that was the flood. And so here we see this. This was a type, a picture, a type of the rapture of the church. Now, I want to take you over to Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, we read this, starting with verse 23 through 30. Now the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to take place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the county went up as the smoke of the furnace. And it came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plains, that God remembered Abraham and set Lot out of the midst of the overthrow which he overthrew in the cities in the which Lot dwelt in. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains of the two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, as he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger one, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come unto him, so unto us to come in unto us after the manner of the earth, Come, let us make our father drunk, drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. Now, here, to begin with, Lot did not want to go to the mountain. He didn't want to go to the mountain. He wanted to go to Zoar. And the angel said, no, get up to the mountain. And Lot said, well, can't we go to Zoar? Zoar's a city. We like city. We're used to city life. And my wife likes the things, all of the things of the cities. And so what happens here now? The angel said, all right, just, you got to get moving. This place is going to be a parking lot here soon. You know, you got to get moving. God's judgment is coming. And so what happens? They go to Zoar. Now, remember, the people there, they were kind of like the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And here Lot now, they're seeing what's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're blaming that stuff on Lot, okay? And so when Lot gets to Zoar, he's not very welcome there. And so it's a good thing he had the angels with him. And so the angels took him and his two daughters, and they went up into the mountains. And they lived in a cave up in the mountain. Now, two things here we see. One, Lot's wife, again, that's where the enemy always attacks women in the inner of discernment. Bad choice to look back. She was told not to look back. Do not look back. And they claim that there's a pillar of salt today in that place. A lot of people claim that that is Lot's wife. And then here, his daughters used the very same poor judgment, the very same poor judgment which caused them to sin. Now here, they thought that the world had ended. The world had ended. They saw what was happening to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they thought, this is the end of the world. There's no, out there, there's no men left, you know, for us to bring forth. And it would be a major dishonor if their father had no male seed to follow him. And so they took it upon themselves that they were going to. Now remember, too, at this point, there was no law against incest. There was no law against incest at this point, okay? And they looked at things a whole lot differently than we do today. And so that doesn't come until later in Leviticus, where you have these laws against incest. And so, but they made, a very, very, the very, very poor discernment, you know, with his two daughters there. But here, what did you have? You have Lot and his family being taken out of Sodom up to the mountains, and they were taken up into the mountains. So what was taking place down below where they were at? So all the cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah, well, they had a really bad day, folks, out there. They were totally annihilated. And so what did you have? Well, that is another picture. It's a type of the rapture of the church, where God's people are taken up and out while down below God's judgment is taking place. And I want to give you over to Exodus chapter 14. We take one look at one more example of this. In Exodus 14, verses 13 through 31, we read this. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see what salvation of the Lord which will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now, here, when he says stand still, he's talking about having patience, because what's going to happen here is going to take place. It's going to take all day and all night. All day and all night to take place. And so you had over 1 million people that were leaving out of Egypt and going through the Red Sea. So the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, no grumbling, no moaning, no complaining. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all the host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon the chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which were before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, this cloud, the pillar of the cloud, on this one side where Israel was, it was showing a bright light, and it lit the way. It lit the way for Israel to travel. On the other side of the cloud, it was darkness, pure darkness. And the Egyptians could not travel at night, so they had to stop and stand still in the darkness while giving God's people a chance, the time that they needed to go through the Red Sea on dry land. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. And that night made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily to the Egyptians. And so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them in their right hand and in their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord had did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and served Moses. So now here, what do we see? We see God parting the Red Sea. We see Israel going down into it. And then God is bringing them up out of the Red Sea, up upon the mountain. And so they go up out of the sea, up unto the mountain. And here, down below, comes the Egyptian army. And as the Egyptian army comes through there, now God had to harden their hearts to do this because, you see, had they saw what they had wanted to leave. They wanted to flee. They wanted to turn around and go the other direction. But God hardened their hearts because his judgment was going to be upon them, that they would follow Israel. And so, folks, just think about yourself. If you were the Egyptian army and you were going after Israel, and you saw the sea parted and people going down through dry land, you would think maybe I'm in a wrong place, right? And so, but we see here again a type of the rapture of the church. And by the way, you'll notice something here. In these three examples I'm giving you, the Bible always refers to two witnesses. And so you have exactly that. You have the three accounts and the two witnesses. Now, here, again, you see the people being brought up out upon the mountain, and down below, judgment is taking place upon the earth. So these were all types of the rapture of the church. Now, there are those that, again, continuously try to tell us that the church has to go through the tribulation period. Well, folks, the purpose of the tribulation period is to prepare Israel for her king, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and the purification and her purification. And also, the purpose of the tribulation is to judge people living on the earth. And so we're going to take a good look at this here, again, preparing Israel for a king. As we go to Ezekiel chapter 36, and in Ezekiel chapter 36, starting with verse 17. Now, in verse 17, we read, and by the way, in this verse, you're going to find out that he later speaks of Israel. We're going to see God later speaks of Israel as being a chosen people, both clean in body and spirit, once Israel is purified. And we start here, Son of man, whom the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings, and their way was before me as the unclean of a removed woman. Well, the removed woman, Leviticus 15, 19 through 33, describes what you're talking about as far as a removed woman goes. That is a woman that's having her time of month. And during that time of month, they has to be separated from the rest of the people. Now, it's an interesting thing because actually it was done for cleanliness purposes here. But there were those that had a lot of, there were a lot of false beliefs and about that in those days. But let me just go over to Leviticus here. 15 and read 19 through 33 very quickly. And here's what we read. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue is in her flesh, be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she setteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she set upon shall wash the clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Now, here, again, this is what he was referring to Israel, the nation of Israel, as being put aside because of her sin as unclean, as the uncleanness of a removed woman. He says, wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to it, their way, and according to their doings. And I judged. Well, here, they're rebellious people. And guess what? To this very day, the nation of Israel has not repented. To this very day. And see, again, when we're talking about the purpose of the tribulation is to purify Israel, her purification period, and getting her ready for her king. And when they entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and they are going forth out of the land. Now, the Lord is going to bring Israel, and he's going to purify her, but not for Israel's sake. Not for Israel's sake, because Israel, again, like I said, to this very day, is a very sinful nation. A lot of people don't realize. I've been to Israel, and a lot of people, you know, we got two different groups of people, and I have friends of mine that are good friends of mine, too, that some think Israel can do no good at all, and others think Israel can do no wrong at all. Okay, folks, but let me tell you, Israel, as bad as America is per capita, Israel's actually worse than we are, okay, if that's possible. And I'm talking about in areas of pornography, in areas of prostitution, in areas of abortion. They had the world's largest sodomite parade. And so Israel still has not. Now, the Lord is going to cleanse Israel, not for Israel's sake, not by any because she's repented, but he's going to do it for his own. And he goes on to say, but I have pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before my eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. That happened in 1948. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. That has not happened yet. That is still to come. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments to do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and increase the field, that you shall receive no reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded by your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all of your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and wastes shall be builded. So that is the tribulation period. Again, is the time for a purification of the nation of Israel. Now, I want to jump over to Zechariah 13 very quickly. And in Zechariah 13, read two verses here. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Now, this is during the tribulation period. This is the purification period of Israel. But the third shall be left therein. Now, the two parts that are cut off and die, those, that is the seed, but not the children of Abraham. It is the seed of Abraham, the flesh, but not the children, the spirit. Now, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And that's who they're referring to, the Lord of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to jump over here again. This is the part of the purification of the nation of Israel. The purpose of the tribulation period, again, is the judging of the people living on earth. And, of course, the purpose of the tribulation period is for Israel to be ready for her king and be purified. Now, in Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we read this. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And that day shall come with, shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, there'll be none left to procreate. And unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Son of, you know, here, that's the S-U-N. The S-U-N of righteousness is none other than the S-O-N. The S-U-N is none other than the S-O-N, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, returning to the world in its darkest night. And so he is the light of the world, John 8:12, both physically upholding all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. Now, here, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, he sent Elijah in the spirit of Elijah as John the Baptist. And now it's an interesting thing here because, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, that was done as far as John the Baptist actually, folks, had the first congregation. John had a number of followers and virtually was the pastor of their little congregation. And they asked him, "Are you a Messiah?" And he said, "No, I'm here. I'm the forerunner to announce the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, he's the Messiah. Now, when it says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children," those that were disciples of John the Baptist, that followed John, who were his disciples, ended up as the Lord Jesus came to be the apostles, the first apostles, and the early church fathers. And so their hearts were turned towards God, towards the Lord. And so here, I want to go to, of course, now, when it comes to the purpose of the tribulation to judge the people living on earth, there are so many verses. And I could give you, if you want to just write some of these down, I'll give you a few of them. Revelation 6:10, Revelation 11:10, Revelation 14:6, Revelation 17:8. Now, I'm just going to go through one of them because of time, and that is going to be Revelation 13. And in Revelation 13, verses 8 through 14, we read, okay, wrong passage. Okay. We read, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns and like a lamb, and spake as a dragon.